live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
And this is episode 154. I was about to say, geez. 154 of the Field to the Real podcast.
Yes.
How you feeling today?
I'm good. Yeah. It's a good day. It's a good day. I've been singing all morning and cleaning. The dog got a bath. It's been like a good productive morning for me. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is good stuff. Good stuff. So what about yourself?
I'm feeling good. You know, taught a couple classes this morning, afternoon.
Yeah.
And you know, back to the house.
Yeah.
Ready for recording.
Yes. So we'll start this off with who's really right, right?
Yeah, we're gonna start it off with who's really right. We put it out there, Wheelay, our family Wheelay, was supposed to be here. You know, there were some circumstances that didn't allow him to be here today, but he will be back. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We will have him on to see how he's doing now and how everything's been going.
Absolutely.
We love you, man. You know,
you'll
be with us next week. So
yes, we hope that your schedule is free because we'll be making sure that we are ready.
Yes.
So yes. We'll see you next week, Wheelay. Love you. Take care.
Yes. Let's dive right into who's really white.
All right.
There have been so many things that have happened over this last week. You know, it almost makes me want to say like, yo, let's record a couple of times a week. But
It has been that kind of craziness over the last couple of months or so, really. Like,
true.
Choose what you like. It's so much going on. Like,
Stuff has happened so rapidly. God. You know what I'm saying? So,
I'm like, wait.
you guys have already heard the news about Deshaun Watson, the former quarterback of the Houston Texans, who is now the current quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, and he is the recipient of a shiny new $250-something million fully guaranteed contract.
Never happened. It's like $80 million more than the most in NFL history.
Yeah. I want to say Kirk Cousins is probably the person who got the most.
That was highway robbery, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, he should be in jail. But you know, the signing has kind of been polarizing, you know what I'm saying? And so for one reason or the other, we'll stick to reasons of football purposes.
Yes.
And our who's really right for this week was going to Cleveland a good move for Deshaun Watson? Ladies first.
So, let me start out by saying, as a Falcons fan, I was ultra excited at the idea that Deshaun Watson might come home and play for his hometown team. We kind of had this conversation. I feel like it would have been reinvigorated for the city in a way, kind of the way it was when Michael Vick was drafted. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I felt like it would have just been a good look overall, but that's not what happened.
No.
And he ended up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not a fan of this for him. So y'all know already. So I'm the touchy-feely person, and Jared is the businessman.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So from my touchy-feely side, I'm going to talk about this, as I just don't know if that is the environment or atmosphere that I feel like he will thrive in, from not his talent, just as a human being. And I joke about Cleveland all the time and their past issues with things like staph infections and, you know, in the locker room and just not being, you know, just not to me feeling like a good place to rest your head, if you will say. And even though some things have been rectified, I hope there's not staph infections still in their locker room. But I still feel like there is some level of toxicity in this place, in this organization. And definitely from the quarterback standpoint, they haven't been able to keep nobody. And then when they leave, they go to, what did you call it the other day? That it's purgatory.
Purgatory.
Like they literally, you don't hear from them unless it's about them being on a yacht somewhere with a bunch of, anyway. I don't know. And then, you know, the OBJ thing, I don't like how that was handled. And while you still have talent, you've now eliminated OBJ and Jarvis Landry. So, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, he'll still have Nick Chubb and, you know, there's still some pieces there.
Yeah, and, you know, they traded for, his name escapes me right now, but the wide receiver, the number one wide receiver for the Cowboys.
Oh, Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. They got him for like a 6th-round pick or something like that.
Jesus. Wow. So, yeah, I mean, and that's a good thing, but I don't know. excuse me. The man had one of the best wide receivers in the game in Houston, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so Amari is cool, but is he really? I mean,
you look at the numbers and he's a top guy.
Okay. But you need more than just that one person too.
No, you do, right? And this is why these new reports is why I think that this is an amazing move. So there are reports now, and I'm assuming that you hadn't seen this yet.
Mm-hmm.
That they are in talks to bring back Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, they might come back for him, right?
Exactly, which is why.
I mean, if they do that, it's great from a football standpoint. It's great.
Right. And so I think that a lot of the things, I think that one of the good things that we've seen, and we've seen it, you know, while it, like culture translates to winning, right? We saw what the culture was based on the wins and losses of how the Cleveland Browns organization was.
Yeah.
They got in a new owner,
yeah.
New GM. I want to say they went through and swept through the whole organization down to custodians.
Wow.
And just tried to put a new culture around there. So,
I needed it.
You know, while there have been things that, like, I didn't like how they handled the whole OBJ thing, you know, I understand it because, you know, when the father of a star receiver comes out and denigrates the starting quarterback, as an organization, you just cannot have that. That creates so much, you know, distraction and, you know, it polarizes the locker room. And so they definitely needed to handle that. But I think that the Browns were in a no-win situation because I think they understood that Baker had reached his ceiling.
Yeah.
But you couldn't just get rid of Baker where he was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, which is why we saw that as soon as they had the opportunity to go and get Deshaun Watson right now still is a top five, I dare Absolutely. Say top three quarterback in the
Absolutely.
NFL.
For sure.
You go sure. and get him. Mm-hmm. No matter what you got to do, you go and get him. So you give him a fully guaranteed contract.
You're like, come please.
Yes. For 5 years,
yeah.
You go and get him. It only makes sense. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it just makes sense from the standpoint of, you know, the money and the football as far as it being a locker room. I think that he needed a new atmosphere. He needed to get away from Houston.
Oh, for sure.
And while some players thrive at home, for football reasons, I don't think that the Atlanta Falcons going through this rebuild year would have been a good football move for him. And I think he needs to experience some success. Now, from that standpoint, there were only a few other places. Going to Carolina Panthers wasn't going to be a good move.
No.
Sean Payton is no longer with the Saints, so we don't know what they're going to look like. That is too much of an iffy move.
Yes.
Kevin Stefanski has shown that he is an offensive-minded guy. And it's unfortunate that Baker Mayfield couldn't run the offense to the best of his ability.
Oh,
but having someone like Deshaun Watson, I think that his genius is going to show.
No, for sure. I mean, if they get OBJ and Jarvis Landry back, like, I'm going to be like, okay. Right? Yeah. I'm going to be like, okay. Because he deserves that. Right? Like, for me, I feel like he deserves that.
Yeah.
But if that's not the case, I'm still like, not sure. And I'm still stick to my point of just the atmosphere. I mean, I hear what you're saying. They did a culture sweep, but it's been within that culture sweep that you did what you did to OBJ. And that, you know what I mean? Like, that's all happened within this time frame of y'all being new. Right? So... Yeah. I'm just still more concerned about him as the human being, I guess, in all of this, right? That's that's my issue. It's not about him. I know he'll, wherever he is, I feel like, because he is one of the top five, I'll say five quarterbacks in the league, wherever he is, he's going to thrive because he just does that. He's that dude like a LeBron James that if I got to pick the team up and put it on my back, I will. We've watched it in Houston multiple years.
Well, for that reason, minus what he's being accused of, but for that reason, I feel like whatever the culture is in Cleveland, he can go there and change it with the type of leader that he is.
That's a lot to put on him, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Just being himself, heavy, I guess.
Heavy is the head, you know what I'm saying? And as a quarterback, you know, we expect that. We expect it for Peyton Manning to leave the Colts and go to the Broncos and change culture. We expect it for Tom Brady to leave the Patriots to go to Tampa Bay and change culture. You know what I'm saying? And both of them did it immediately.
They did. You're right. And it's just being themselves. I don't think it's like, as long as he's not putting that on his shoulders, like, purposely and just saying, I'm going to just go be me. And whoever I am when I show up, this is how, you know what I mean? Like, if that's it, then I'm good with that. But I just, we'll see. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to still stick to my, I don't feel like, listen, if for no other reason that I just wanted him to come to play.
Oh, that's what it is. That's all it is. I would feel the same way if
Washington had been on the table.
The Washington football team didn't trade for the.
That's not their names. They're the Commanders, don't
they? They're going to just be the football team. They don't even deserve a team name with the Carson Wentz. Y'all let us know who's really right.
Well, listen. You talking about and this is, y'all know how I feel about Carson Wentz, but I would have happily have taken Carson Wentz over Marcus Mariota.
Y'all rebuilding.
Whatever.
y'all let us know who's really right. Do y'all think that Deshaun Watson made a good move by going to Cleveland? Or do you think that any other destination, which Stephanie thinks the Falcons would have been a greater destination? Do you think any other destination would have been good for him to go to? All right, real good topics.
Yeah.
All right, now listen. There have been quite a few NFL trades this offseason, you know. Yeah. What's the most surprising trade that you've seen this NFL offseason?
You really want me to say it? The most? You really want me to say it?
What you gonna say?
No. Trade. Let's see. I'm gonna have to go.
You was about to pick on me. I know you were. You ain't right.
I won't do it.
Okay.
A trade that really has shocked me this offseason would have to be, and it's And it's not because I didn't know it was coming. And now I have a better understanding of why it was done, but it still looks really funky, is the Matt Ryan to the Colts for a third round draft pick.
Yeah.
It just, I get why.
Yeah.
And I applaud the Falcons for the way that they handled things with him. Mm-hmm. That was very classy.
Of course. Well, I mean, we wouldn't expect anything less for Arthur Blank.
But it just looks real funky. Like, it does. A third round draft. I'm sorry. I know how you feel about Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan is still one of the elite quarterbacks in this league.
So in fairness, I didn't think that he was worth the number one. I didn't think that he was worth the first round draft pick. But I did. I said that two number twos should get it done for somebody because he is a former MVP.
Yeah.
And shout out to Brian Abson Sr. We were arguing about this right before the trade hit.
Okay.
He was saying, Matt Ryan's going to get a number one. He deserves, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's a former MVP. He's going to get a first round pick. I'm like, no. Matt Ryan is like 5 or 6 years removed from being the MVP. And he's on the downslide of his career. He can still get it done, but like, nobody's giving up a first round for that.
Right.
And as soon as it came through that he got a third round, he was upset. I was like, listen, you lost that one. I think wings should be on me. I mean, wings should be on
you. Right. Yeah, no, that one just for the trade itself was one that was surprising to me.
Yeah.
For sure. That was one of those like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's what y'all think. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, this is all y'all think about that. But then when I read, like, it made more sense. But it's still, I don't know. I feel like y'all didn't haggle enough. I don't know.
Carson Wentz for me, because I don't feel like
see,
I don't feel like there was a
moment. Say it then. You
well, no, because you was gonna say it jokingly. I feel like there were a few other trades we could have been in the running for Deshaun, you know, and like, you know, maybe we don't get him, but I think. We tried for Russell Wilson, and that didn't work. He didn't want to waive his no-trade clause for them, and I get it. Totally understand that. I would have been a lot happier with Baker Mayfield, you know, as the bridge quarterback that gets us to our next, you know.
Okay, never mind.
But ultimately, I feel like with this move, we really could have just stuck with the quarterback that we had.
Thielen, what's his name?
Thielen. I can't think of it.
Isn't it Thielen? Why don't I want to say Thielen? Like something crazy.
It starts with a Heineke.
Heineke. It was something. I knew it was something weird. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the man performed. That's what I guess I was thinking. If you're gonna go get one, Carson Wentz. Okay.
I would have even been happy to trade for Matt Ryan, as surprising as that sounds. If we were going to give up some draft picks, now I know taking on that contract would have been kind of a thing, but if I'm not mistaken, because of when he got traded, the Falcons are still kind of on the hook for a portion of the contract.
$60 million, yes.
You know, and so.
Yes, they are on the hook for $60 million.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I like what it leads me to believe is that there is a lot of ineptitude in Washington. And I thought with our new president, our new black president, that there would be some moves that would be made that would, you know, kind of get the fan base going. And well, they've just botched this year, like the Commanders, Carson Wentz, throw the whole franchise away, throw it away.
Well, can I say to his defense, he has an owner who I feel like this is very much so Jerry Jones-ish in the way that he handles things. Like, you just here for a show. I run this. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm inept. You said it. He's inept at being an owner and a businessman, and that's obvious. But he still owns the team nonetheless. And so I feel like it was, and nothing, not this is not taking away from your president. This is, but I will say, I feel like it was for sure.
Mm-hmm.
for sure. And he just got to kind of deal with what he got to deal with, right? Fight the battles he can. And he probably don't want to fight that battle. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, that was going to be my... And then if I got to say one, why would the Falcons trade for Marcus Mariota?
They need a great quarterback. And I'm going to tell you why. Your coach's name, Arthur Smith?
Yes.
You know, he came from Tennessee, where Marcus Mariota was previously.
And?
Well, that's what these coaches go and do. They go get their favorite players, their guys,
familiar to them, what looks familiar to them.
Yeah. So, well, blame your head coach.
I certainly will. He's still on the hot seat, in my opinion. You haven't proven yourself at all, sir. Anyway, let's not go there. We just needed a gripe about our teams today.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, let's talk about this NCPA civil lawsuit.
Yeah, it's against the division. So it's a civil lawsuit filed by the NCPA, which is the, National College Players Association, it's a Division One suit. It's against the Division One for discrimination practices. They allege that athletes in predominantly white sports are compensated properly or allowed to gain proper compensation, where predominantly black athlete sports, which are like football and basketball, are not. And they introduced this after a statement from Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, who made the statement that it's a problem because most of the African-American athletes are less privileged and therefore they should not be in this situation where they cannot be compensated. Now, I found this really interesting that this was kind of where the NCPA, I think, was motivated to file this suit based on, I feel like they felt like, one of the justices feels this way. Maybe if it has to go there, you know what I mean? Like, we got somebody on our side, at least, to kind of try to push this through. Right. So I feel like this was a tactical move on their part, smart tactics, by the way. And I think it's absolutely true. I find it to be very sad that we continue to have conversations around this type of thing, even with the NIL. In place. That doesn't, because what's not going to happen is name, image, and likeness is not going to be the forefront for everybody.
Right.
There will still be athletes who are not receiving contracts to sponsor or partner with, these places and people and things. And so they still are having the same issue they were having before. So I feel like this is something that's really necessary to, if nothing else, bring it to the forefront that we are not saying, oh, well, they got NIL now, so they good. Like, don't do that, because that's not everybody's truth. And some people are still going to be like, I just remember, I don't know how bad it is now, but I remember athletes that I went to college with who literally, because I lived in an apartment, they just happened to know me. So they would be like, yo, you got some food? Y'all not finna come over here and eat me out of my food. Wait, what? Because they couldn't afford to go buy food. Like, it was like in cafeteria, closed at a certain time. It was nowhere for them to go get anything else. So they just like, yo, you got, don't call me. Listen, you are 6'8". If I let you in my house, all y'all in my house, it's going to be over. I'm going to be barren. My house will look like it. So, just sad.
Nah, that's real. And like you said, it's surprising that Brett Kavanaugh was the one who, spoke up on this, but I'm glad he did, and I think that this is something that attention needs to be called to. Yeah. All of the injustices that we see, we need our white brothers and sisters to call attention to them, to combat these types of injustices, because we'll continue to see them until they speak up.
Unfortunately, because we've been hollering about this for years and years, like decades about this. So clearly it's not going to be our voices that make the difference. And so any allies we can get that see this and, you know, recognize this. And I think that the one plus is that a lot of these athletes, the one good thing about sport is for the most part, you when you play sport, you kind of put color to the side. Mm-hmm. As teammates, or you know what I mean, like you don't really, and so they get to interact and see each other's lives in ways that they may not if they did not play sport. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's why possibly even Brett Kavanaugh spoke up, because of playing sport. I'm sure he played sport, playing sport in high school and college, and seeing the discrepancies and disparities that exist, and like, wow, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even, yeah, so I feel like that's one of those things that is, and let's be clear, the other part of that is they don't, the part that Brett Kavanaugh brought up, which I feel like is the central reason for even making this an issue, is these African-American students aren't typically growing up in circumstances that allow them the freedom to move about and do like their counterpart, white counterparts might in their socioeconomic background.
Yeah.
They're typically not growing up in those situations. Right. Not all of them are mm-hmm. poor, but there is a great majority that a big enough number that it needs to be addressed. There's a gap. And so like what Judge Jackson said in one of her responses was, I grew up, you know, in Miami, mm-hmm. went to public school, got to Harvard, and all these prep school kids are there. She was like, I didn't even recognize what Harvard was. Like, I didn't recognize what a big deal this was that I was going to Harvard. She was like, but I get there and all these prep school kids, she said, including my husband, mm-hmm. were there. They came from different backgrounds that I understood or ever had experienced.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of the truth, right? It may not be prep school, but you definitely probably grew up in a different, better economic situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
The Liberty University's Malik Willis, his pro day brought the coaches out. I don't think that it was one team that wasn't there represented.
Listen, let me tell you something. We can get him.
Listen. Do you see the way he was throwing that ball around?
Woo, we can get him. Come on, Malik.
It was reminiscent of
Mike.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. They comparing him to Mike Vick, though. Like a right-handed Mike Vick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because this arm strength that he has is kind of effortless.
It's like Mike. Like Mike, yeah. Mike flick a ball.
He would just flick his wrist and it'd be gone.
And it's gone for 60 yards like nothing. Like, what?
Yeah. He's a bigger guy, though. And that's why I think I went to Ben Roethlisberger. He's not as big as Ben Roethlisberger, obviously, but he's a bigger guy. He's mobile, you know, because Ben ain't all that mobile.
At all.
Mm-hmm. But just like his delivery, like to me, it just kind of reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger. And so I think I can see him going to, I think that might be why they went and got Trubisky. I could see the Steelers going, maybe trading up to make sure that they get him.
I'm not going to be mad at that. You know, that's my other team. So
yeah, no, I know. Yeah, that's what.
I won't be mad at that. Let's go. I would be excited to see that. I mean, you know, it's the, because I look at the Steelers, even though there were many Black quarterbacks before him, Cordell Stewart.
Yeah.
In his time there, it just really stood out to me, right? And so I just see that, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be cool. But yeah, listen, this kid is the truth.
Yeah.
When you can bring all the coaches out to your pro day, you know, everybody.
You know, and I'm not so sure that we don't, you know, get in the mix in there to
Y'all just,
you know, we'll go,
more likely than y'all. Let's not play, because Carson,
we'll go get a black quarterback.
That ain't the point. That ain't what I'm talking about. Y'all just got Carson Wentz. Y'all wouldn't have got what people would consider a real quarterback. We wouldn't have got the play quarterback. So y'all just do.
Both of them were starters in this league.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Wherever Malik went, because, and then the other thing is, he's from Atlanta. Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Come home again.
I don't think you guys have a high enough draft pick to get him.
Come home again, right? No, we won't.
Nah, probably not.
No,
but I think you guys are putting your eggs in the basket for Bryce Young. We talked about that.
Yep.
You know,
and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Just won't watch football next year. Mm-hmm. Next season, it's fine. Just won't be watching football.
Turn off the TV next year.
Oh, so, yep. Well, luckily I'm not in a market where I have to watch the Falcons. So.
Yeah. You'll be watching Tom.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'll be watching old Tom Brady. That's what I'll be watching. So yeah, but wherever he ends up, one, he's an alum of my alma mater. So yes, mm-hmm. Liberty University. Yeah. So yes. And two, just wherever he ends up, I wish him well. Really. Yeah. And he's gonna be excited to watch. I can't wait to see it. Wherever you are, I'm gonna be a fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's in Steeler Nation, I'm gonna be extremely happy. Yes. Lord. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry, let's go. All right.
Josh Hart and Larry Nance Jr. Now we talked about them a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
About how when they got traded, they, you know, instead of, you know, one selling their house and going to look for it, they end up both just swapping houses because they were swapped with teams.
Yep.
And so, you know, talk a little bit about them. They actually became friends as teammates with the Lakers.
Yep. I just think it's a beautiful friendship.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, I think Josh isn't married, but Larry is.
Yeah.
And so the story that I read was Larry said, Josh is not allowed to take the picture of him and his wife and his daughter off the wall in the bedroom.
Oh my God. So you got it. You gotta look at us.
Yeah. You gotta look at us. So.
That's cool. Like, you think about like how their off seasons go. I'm sure they see each other's houses.
Right.
So it's like, well, this house is familiar. Like,
right.
I'm gonna just stay at your house and you stay at mine.
At your house and you stay at mine. Like, hey, economically smart too, right?
Right.
Like not buying houses all over the place.
Yeah.
No, I love it. It was cool.
Real roll call. Yeah. All right. I know this is your favorite segment, Steph.
Yes.
And I know you don't like this.
I know. Just go and do it. Clock. Darn it. Darn it. Yeah.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 topics.
It's so much going on, y'all. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, this is good because we're going to do a minute each topic.
Okay.
And we're going to start off with Yusef Nurkic is fined $40,000 and charged with battery after throwing a fan's phone. React.
Well, I still haven't really looked into like all of the details of this, but I would be curious to know what in the world did this fan say or do that would cause this man to react the way that he did. And we've had these conversations about fans need to be checked. You know, I'm not saying he's right. I'm saying fans need to be checked because they have some odd thought that they can say and do anything to these players and it's okay.
And I don't know the all of the facts surrounding it, but you know, the little thing that I saw, the little clip that I saw, it was totally deserved. And the fans should probably not be allowed back in the arena.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So that's just why I stand with it. Cause these fans have lost their mind.
Well, listen, y'all just entitlement is over the top.
Yeah.
Come on now. All right.
Look
at us. We did it under a minute.
Right. In under a minute. Now, Baker Mayfield
this one to might not be under a minute. I'm just
Baker Mayfield to the Steelers. React.
Y'all see my face? If you're just listening, it's all scrunched up right now because I'm angry at the. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all about to make me. What's wrong with the Steelers? I don't understand this. you don't go from having a Hall of Fame quarterback, and this is the same problem I have with the Falcons. You don't go from a Hall of Fame quarterback to this. Let me not say this. Baker Mayfield is not Steeler. I want to say he doesn't fit the mold.
No, I was going to say, like, I think he 100% fits that blue collar Steeler mold, which is why I feel like he'll go there. He's going to work hard. He's going to compete with it, because you know how those defenses are in Pittsburgh. You know how those defenses are. I feel like he's going to do it.
Yeah. Well.
I like your
bringing it to the blue collar side, because that I do like about, like, I like Baker Mayfield the person. I think he's funny, and I do think he got a chip on his shoulder, all that stuff, but I just don't feel like he's the fit for, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
No, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
I feel like he could go somewhere different and be different.
Thrive. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Miami feel like a place for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not here. I mean,
nah, I agree.
Pittsburgh. No, yeah. Okay.
All right. Everybody's bracket was busted Sunday. Now, mine was busted yesterday, but everybody's bracket was busted Sunday. React.
Yeah. Because Gonzaga lost last night, right?
Gonzaga lost and Michigan.
Oh, God. Wait, they did lose too. I forgot about that. Well, I feel like we've got a lot of Cinderella stories, which we always have. I don't think they go this far, though. Like, they usually make it to the Sweet 16, and then it's like, oh, well, you did good. Good for you. Right. This is, y'all making it to the Elite Eight as these Cinderella teams. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
I think, you know, I just feel like, and I'm speaking specifically about Gonzaga, they have to be, whoever seeds next year, I don't care what their record is, do not make them a number one seed. They've had three straight years of being a number one seed and have failed to make it to the Final Four.
Right.
And what I feel like is that, you know, and it, my thing is, you do it to the football teams all the time. They just aren't in the good conference.
So this is like how the Patriots always won their division.
Yes. Because they were in the worst one.
Worst division in football. Yeah, got it.
All right. So the Orlando Pride apologized after refusing a banner that said gay. As a huge supporter of the LGBTQ plus community, they said it was a mistake. React. Yeah.
So I appreciate them admitting their mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't know, in Florida, they just passed the bill, the Don't Say Gay bill. Mm-hmm. And so that was, I think, the reason they wanted to have signed gay up. And so I'm glad that they apologized. I mean, it's after the fact, but maybe going forward, they will be able to support the LGBTQ plus community.
Given my stance that I took last week with Leah Thomas, is that Leah Thomas?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I decline to speak about this topic.
Okay.
No, I'm just playing. My only reaction to this topic would be, what is the governor of Florida doing?
Oh, listen, let's not talk about Rick DeSantis.
Yeah.
Let's not. Look, that's a whole nother show.
Never mind. I'm not even gonna say that, because I don't even want God to come get me for saying something.
Oh God. Okay. Lord, not God come get you. Okay.
Yeah. Because that was gonna be totally not nice. And that wouldn't be
okay.
Good.
Okay. All right, let's keep going.
All right. The USFL's rules. They got a 3-point conversion and the 3-play shootout for overtime. React.
They doing too much.
Really?
So you are, I get you're trying to set yourself apart, right? You're doing things a little different. You're trying to spice things up, make things a little different. I get it. But at the same time, there are some things that just kind of probably need to stay in line.
Yeah.
This whole 3-point conversion thing seems a little too big. The shootout part, not so bad. three-point conversion, on the other hand, seems a little cuckoo to me.
Yeah.
Just a little. It feels gimmicky.
It is. And you know, I don't know why I watched it, and I'm sure you did. I don't know why I watched it, the Pro Bowl.
No.
Because it's trash every year, except for the year that Sean Taylor was running around trying to decapitate people. God rest his soul.
I was going to say, before they changed it, rest in peace, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like they just, you know, are doing it just because people are, you know, looking for new fans to engage.
Well, football fans, I don't know.
Yeah. Football peers, know. Nah.
Yeah, no. Me, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
So we're on to our mental health moment. It was going to be an Onto the Real, but Stephanie Johnson, shout out to Stephanie at Navi Psych on Instagram for sending me this story about Harry Miller, who is a former Ohio State football player. And he shared his truth about his struggles with depression and suicidal ideation on the Today Show, Monday, I believe it was. And when I tell you the same heavy crying thoughts I had when I watched Michael Beasley, I had watching this young man tell his story, because he even spoke about being 8 years old and telling his mother that he was having these kinds of thoughts. But because he clearly was on a path, I guess, to be a football player, to be a successful football player, it was just kind of the suck it up kind of thing. Like, why would you want to kill yourself? Look at what you got in front of you. But the young man literally has scars on his wrist and his neck from attempting to commit suicide on multiple occasions. And he just got to the point in 2020, I believe it was, where it was just, he couldn't fake, you know. So he was able, from all this time of his life, to just use football as kind of that thing that kept him from making that decision, basically, for really doing it. And in 2020, he said it wasn't enough anymore. And he went to his coach, the head coach, and told him that he had thought about killing himself, ending his life. And the coach got him some help. So thank you. I think, what's his name? Ray? Coach Ray? I think it's his name. I can't think of his name. But he got him the help that he needed. And he said he had to share his story because he felt like it was necessary for other people to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
And that there are options other than suicide.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And the ironic part of this is he did this like 9 days after Katie Myers committed suicide.
You know, it's ironic that this story came out, well, for me, because I was looking at this report on 11 Alive, the news channel down here, or one of the news channels down here, and there has been an uptick in, you know, adolescent suicide.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
From, you know, young boys who are as young as 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, they haven't even begun to live life yet. Like, it's hard for me to understand.
It's hard real.
For me to fathom, but it's real.
He was 8. He was 8, yeah. And this is how he felt. Like, yeah, it's real. And some of it's chemical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Some of it is that some of these babies just need some meds, probably, you know? Yeah. But the other part of it is, we think because they're kids, it doesn't matter, but they grow up to be adults. So if we don't give them the support they need, whether that be therapy or medicine or whatever while they're young, they grow up and it's a cycle now.
Yeah.
Or if they even make it to grow up, right? Because at some point it just becomes overwhelming and too much if they're not dealing with it. It has to be dealt with, is my point. It can't just be, you can't just say, suck it up. I mean, I don't know that that's what his mom said. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that that's the sense I get, that it was just like, oh, you know, you play football, you'll be all right. Because that's what we hear. Or you play sport, you're good. And this is always my thing. And why we do this in the first place is because I feel like somewhere, and anybody who tuned into the live with Stephanie and myself on Tuesday, we talked about a little bit about this, but there's this idea that athletes have it all together because they get to do what they love, or especially when they get to the pro level, they're making money, their fame, there's all this stuff that's involved with it, and they think that they all have it all together, but there's still a human being behind all of that stuff that might have experienced some trauma as a child, or didn't grow up in the best circumstances, or did not have the support they needed when they were struggling from a young age. So I just, I have such a problem with that mindset that, I mean, I hear people say, why is it that it's athletes that you have such a passion for? This is why. This is why.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah. Nah, this, you know, this story is definitely touching, you know what I'm saying? And it's necessary, you know, because we continue to see, you know, folks commit suicide, and it's important for, if you're feeling that way, because we all, like, now I won't say all of us, but we're walking around here dealing with the things that we're dealing with, and some of it may be pride, but some of it is a thing of like, okay, we don't want to burden anybody with the things that we're going on, or
even everybody got something going on. Why would I bother them? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to know, like, yo, there's somebody who is having the same thoughts and dealing with the same types of things that I am. So
yes.
Yeah. Shout out to Harry for
yeah. And I'm praying for Harry.
Yeah.
Because he's in a fight for his life.
Yeah.
You can see it. Y'all just go Google Harry Miller, Today's show, and look at that baby's face. He's in the fight for his life right now.
Yeah.
So I'm praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Feel good final thought.
All right.
Now this was, this was a good one to see,
it was
redemptive.
Yes.
Touching and redemptive. Yes. You know, I think a few weeks ago when people saw what happened between Juwan Howard and the coach for Wisconsin. If you aren't familiar with Juwan Howard, you may have labeled him a certain way based off of what happened. But this, what we saw right here, is the Juwan Howard, the people who know him speak about, you know, and even if you don't know him all that well, you aren't in this inner circle, you kind of only see him from afar. Like, this is who you believe him to be. So to see him,
I said, absolutely.
Yeah. To see him consoling the young man from Tennessee after Michigan pulled off the upset to beat Tennessee. In the tournament last week, it was heartwarming, you know.
Oh my God, it just did something to my soul.
Yeah,
like we do these, and I'm always like, oh, it's your eyeball sweater. It did something to my soul because this, you said it so perfectly, bro.
Mm-hmm.
This is Juwan Howard.
Yeah.
Even the one we saw with Wisconsin is the same person. It's the passion that he has for the love of the, not just the game, the kids.
Yeah.
And he was defending with all of his might what he thought, even in that moment when he made those horrible decisions.
Yeah.
It was still out of that same passion and love that we saw with this particular situation. He don't care if you play for him or you don't. He gonna love on y'all because that's what his passion is in there.
Right.
And I just love that. I mean,
yeah.
who doesn't want that kind of coach? I'm exactly. just saying.
Exactly.
I'm good. You gonna go to bat for me and you'll hug me up mm-hmm. and you'll hug up our opponents. I'm right. here for it.
That's why I think I hope he eventually wins a championship.
Yeah. He deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He's done his due diligence to be in this position. So absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right, show picks.
All right.
What you watching?
I got two. I didn't put the other one here, but I got two movies real quick. The first one, A Boy, A Girl, and a Boy, A Girl, A Dream.
Okay.
This was Megan Good and Omari Hardwick.
Okay.
It was a movie about what it was like to be African-American in America after Donald Trump won the presidency.
Is it like a movie or a documentary?
No, it's a movie.
Okay.
It feels very documentary in the way that they filmed it.
Okay.
But it's a movie.
Okay.
They're two strangers. They meet in LA that night when the election took place. And they literally are with each other the whole night as things progress. Mm. It is amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I definitely have to check that one out.
Oh my God, it was so good. And the other one was The Nomads with Tika Sumpter.
Okay. I love Tika Sumpter, so I definitely got
you. Haven't said, okay, so this is about it's a true story mm-hmm. about, I think, North Philly.
Okay.
It's a North Philadelphia high school she comes to work at after they've consolidated three high schools into one. Mm-hmm. And she comes to work there, but she's a former rugby player in college.
Yeah.
And she brings rugby to this Philly team. And so
yeah.
they still today have a rugby team and 100% graduation rate with that team.
Philly got all the good sports stories.
So, yeah.
They had Pride, the yeah, swim team.
Right.
Oh, man.
So that's a good one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vince. I was thinking about another Philly story. Vince Papale, the movie Invincible.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was a Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Played it. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been watching the Bill Cosby documentary.
Mm-mm. Okay. Who put it again? I'm sorry.
What is his name? He's a comedian.
Interesting.
What is his name? Oh, I can't think of his name. He shot.
Is he old or young?
Middle age. It's gonna come to me in a second, but
not Robert Townsend.
No. This not. Nah.
He old.
Huh?
You might think he old.
Yeah. but you know, in looking at it. It's one of those things where, like, you hear the testimony, and some of this stuff just to me feels I just don't know. Like, it feels like the swaying of a narrative, and it's only one-sided.
Mm.
Now, I'm watching it because I do want to hear what's being said. Mm-hmm. But it feels very one-sided, and it feels like more of the same, just kind of a pile on. But W. Kamau Bell is who
okay.
did it.
Okay. All right. I might watch it. Okay.
But yeah, that's okay. all I got for that. Like,
yeah, without, you got to see it for yourself.
Yeah, that's you got to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Steph, we are at the end of another one, episode 154. It's crazy because I came back at 150 and it don't even feel like there's been that many episodes.
Yeah, it don't take long.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're already in the 150, so right. it don't take right. long.
But we appreciate you guys for certainly joining us, whether that be via YouTube or through whatever digital streaming platform. For the podcast. If you want to reach out to us, we encourage you to reach out to us. You can email us at fieldthenumber2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at fieldthenumber2therealp1, on IG, fieldthenumber2therealpodcast, and on Facebook, Field to the Real Podcast, no number for that one, right there behind Stephanie's head. And it's the same thing for our YouTube page. We appreciate for you guys to reach out. Go to our YouTube page, like, share, subscribe, comment, all of that good jazz. But this is episode 154 of the Field to the Real Podcast, and we are out. Peace.
Now put the cameras on me, 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 put the cameras on me.